Colossians, the third chapter, verses 8 through 10. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Good morning. I told Shelley, I said, one of these days I'm going to be up here, I'm going to have one of my sneezing fits. I've had them all weekend long. I sneezed like 10 times in a row yesterday at one point. And I said, hopefully that doesn't happen, especially today. So we'll see how that goes. But several weeks ago, I have been working on this series of focusing on togetherness. With us being that small, we generally know each other pretty well, and we tend to, you know, have conversations and know each other in that way. And so just how we can use that as a way to strengthen ourselves. And this morning I'm going to focus on what we say to each other, and not only to each other, but just people in general as well as we speak, but focusing on how we should interact with each other. Jim read the passage in Colossians chapter 3 that, you know, generally talks about, you know, the anger and the malice and the wrath and keeping all that out. But I want to focus on the other part where it says to not lie to one another or do not deceive one another. And he says that the reason why you should not do that, along with the anger and the wrath and the malice and the slander, is because that's part of your old life. It's part of the life that you led that was of the world, that was worldly and sinful. It's saying that we should not lie to each other, we should not lie to people, because we've put on the new self. And I think I did a talk on the new self not too awful long ago, but the new self is basically we're renewed in the image of God the Father. And so we need to be aware of that change in us, and we need to be aware of not doing the things we once did. And in this case, Paul specifically points out lying and deceiving each other. And the reason why I think Paul mentions that, among other things, is that lying is so easy. It's something that you don't even have to think about sometimes, and you just do. Especially, lying can help you get out of a tough situation, or it helps you get to, you know, it helps improve your situation because you're lying about something that could maybe hold you back if you lie on your resume or something like that. I mean, there's so many benefits in this world to lying that it's often hard to resist that temptation to do that, to deceive others. And we don't lie because that's one way, I'm saying we, meaning as Christians, we shouldn't lie because it's one outward way of showing that we've put on this new life after dropping the old self. And so let's read another passage that talks about this type of interaction. Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 through 26 reads, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." It's very easy for our words, not only to lie and to deceive, but our words can provoke. We can easily say things that can irritate people, can get them upset, and that's what we're encouraged in Galatians to not do. The Greek word that is mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5, it's the only time, according to Strong's, this version of this word, this is the only place that this word is used. And the idea is that it's to be boastful, challenging others. I saw somewhere else when I was doing some research on it, it said it's almost like you're calling someone out. You're trying to provoke them. And that's what's being mentioned here. And today, our society is all about calling out people. There's all kinds of people that want to make themselves look better by belittling others. You elevate yourself when you are lowering others. And so they really try to provoke people they're irritating, they're challenging people, and that's not how we should be. God says that if we belong to Him and if we are walking according to the Spirit, well, then we won't do these types of things to others. We're not going to provoke them. We're not going to challenge them or say things just for the purpose of irritating them. If you remember, I had a talk maybe a month or so ago that I said, we all can be irritating, but that's just maybe through a personality quirk or something like that. But the point here is that these words are being said on purpose, intentionally irritating. We can push people's buttons and get them all fired up. We can antagonize, just get them stirred up in a negative way. And these are all things that we have to consider that we are not to be doing in our new self. And so there's another sin that we can think about that our words can produce, and that's James chapter 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. We like to complain against other people. I talked about that last week, about the command that we are to encourage one another, but so often we find ourselves dealing with people that are complaining, or maybe if we look inwardly, we realize that we ourselves complain much more than we need, and that's what James is speaking against, that we are not to be that discouraging person. We're not to be that grumbler. We're not to be that complainer. Just we're not to live life from the prism of just looking at everything negatively. We need to look at the world and see what good is there, and we can reflect that back against us. All throughout Scripture, we find examples of God hates people complaining. He hates people complaining against Him. He hates people complaining against others. And God reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, that He destroyed all the people in the wilderness that He did when they were complaining. So we know that we should not complain, particularly about what other people are doing, and particularly about each other here this morning and people of this congregation. We should be aware of how our words can impact them, but it's hard sometimes because, like I said, not only is our society kind of geared that way, so much of our entertainment focuses on this type of interaction, saying things to get people spun up. And so we often feel like we're the right person in the argument and the other person is wrong, and we have to stop letting that attitude become a part of us. We can't focus on that we absolutely have to be right, because there are many times I've absolutely been wrong, but I fought, and that usually doesn't work out well. And so James lays out a consequence about this type of behavior when we're complaining against others. He says, do not grumble, so you will not be judged. Complaining brings judgment on ourselves. And I don't know about your version of James chapter 5, verse 9, but where it says, behold, the judge is standing at the door. My judge has a capital J. And that typically indicates a divine intention. The judge that's being mentioned here is the Father. And God is going to judge us for complaining against others. He's going to judge us for the sins that we may provoke by our words and so forth. And so that's something that we need to keep in mind, that we will be complained against by the Father. Earlier in the book of James, a chapter earlier, James chapter 4, 11 and 12, that passage reads, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Just an aside, generally when we see references of the law, and I was just thinking about this as I was reading it, we think of the Old Testament as being the law. But here, James is talking about what we've received since the Lord has died and so forth, that in our minds, that is a law as well. And so that's a little freebie I threw in for you. It'll give you some thought maybe for later. But James speaks about don't speak evil of each other. Don't speak against other people, especially those of us of the congregation. We have to look at his reasoning for why we shouldn't do that. It says if we speak against another, we're speaking evil against the law, and we are judging the law. And if you're judging the law, then you're not a doer of the law. And so when you speak evil of others, like I mentioned on the last point, you're oftentimes doing that to elevate yourself, to make the other person look lesser to others. And in a sense, you are setting yourself up as a judge against them. If you're belittling someone, it's because you're saying they don't measure up. And so there's only one judge, there's only one lawgiver, and we are going to usurp the authority of God. Not sure of the word there, but you know, we're putting ourselves in the place with the authority to do so if we do that. And so it's very dangerous when we do speak against others. We're overcoming or assuming that authority that God has and acting to be the judge. And so we've become a judge of the law, and we speak evil of the law because the law tells us not to do this, not to speak against others. And so we have to think that we should not be passing this judgment against others. Our hearts and our minds should stop us from doing so and stopping us from speaking against others. And that's why James warns us against this. And now probably the most familiar passage, at least when it comes to the tongue, is another chapter earlier, James chapter 3. And he talks about we have to have a better understanding of the power of your tongue. And so I'm going to read that, James chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. A lot of things that the tongue is capable of doing. And like it is a small part of our body, but it is very, very influential. And so we hear this warning that James is giving us regarding that. Among some of the things it talks about, it says it's powerful, it's a fire, it stains us. It can just cause us to have this stain come over all of us. And so he says we can tame all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of creatures, and we are not able to tame ourselves and control of our tongue. Just when you think you have a handle on doing better with your tongue, well, not you can have a slip of the tongue, I mean, but you could slip up, and it's easy to let it get out of control. And he says that our tongues are a restless evil full of a deadly poison. At least that's how it says in the English Standard Version. What I want us to notice, though, is the reason why we do struggle with our tongues and why we may find ourselves complaining, why we maybe speak against other people, why we lie and deceive, and maybe why we're doing the provoking and the irritating that we might do. And so we have to listen to what James says in verses 9 through 12 and consider what he asks. He says, can a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? And a salt pond cannot yield fresh water. And so what James is telling us is what has happened if cursing and evil words are coming out of the same mouth that you use to pray to the Lord? If it reveals that we have a problem with our source. The tongue is the outward expression of ourselves, but the words are simply the outcome of how we've allowed our hearts to be conditioned, to how our hearts are regarding one another. And so our words are simply the outcome of what we have allowed to fester inside of us. Our internal spring can become contaminated if we have a problem with our tongues. And so if we turn to Matthew chapter 12, we can look at what Jesus has said about this type of thought. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, Jesus says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruits. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good?" This should be well, but how can you speak good when you are evil? Well, I suppose he's talking. Okay, never mind. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That's a pretty sobering thought, that every careless word that we let come out of us, we're going to be judged upon that. There are no throwaway words. There are no little white lies. There are no little harmless little things that we can say. Every careless word we're going to have held against us, and it's going to be used to justify where we go. And he starts that by saying that trees are known by its fruit. And so you can't speak goodness when you've got evil inside of you. And so there's a certain principle which shows the issue for how we speak to others. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It's the same thing what James said in chapter 3, that we are known by what we say, which comes from that heart. The reason why we struggle with this is because we've allowed other evil thoughts and so forth to dwell among us, that it's because we've allowed our hearts to become to that point. The treasure inside of you is good. Good things are going to come out of your mouth. But if the treasure or the spirit inside of you is an evil one, then evil is going to come out. If our hearts are contaminated, our hearts are not clean. And so that issue is deep down inside of us. So I want to notice the seriousness of this sin. Too often, we can think that what we're doing, oh, well, it's just words, but who cares what you say? Who cares if I tell a little white lie to my boss? Or who cares if you go back on your word and you don't do what you said you were going to do? Or who cares if I deceive someone to get that promotion or whatever the case may be? The answer is God cares. And verse 36 tells us that people are going to give an account for what we say. And so it doesn't matter that our neighbor doesn't know that we lied to them, or our spouse or our family member. We may get away with it, but the Lord knows, and that careless word is going to be on our record. And so Jesus then goes that these are the words that are going to justify us or condemn us. And so the reason why Jesus says that is because our words are reflection of our hearts. And so what we say comes from the inside. We need to be careful. The word careless is used there, and so that indicates that we need to be careful. We need to put thought into what we're saying. And, you know, so many times you hear someone say, "Count to 10 before you say something." Well, that's not a bad idea. Because if you think about it and you still say it, well, you put care into it, you might still be wrong. But so many times I've wanted to snap and say something, and I've thought the better of it, and I'm like, I'm glad I didn't say that. And so we need to listen to James, who tells us to be slow to speak, because even our thoughtless words, the ones that are just a throwaway word, they will be held against us. And so what must we do to be able to not receive this condemnation by our words? Well, we have to address our hearts. And that could be done by just reading our Bible. If we're exposing ourselves to bad media, bad entertainment, and that influences us, well, then we need to get good input inside of us. And we could read our Bibles, and we could have that goodness get inside of us. It could help us transform our hearts to be pure and clearer. And so we should avoid watching, listening to, being involved with things that are going to put this negativity inside of us. And so we need to encourage ourselves to use our tongue in non-sinful ways, and we do that by changing and transforming our heart. And so we read God's word, and we can see where we need to improve, and we can be changed and have that transformation. So if you want to be justified, as it says, as Jesus says at the end of Matthew chapter 12, that passage I read, if we want to be justified and have our words not be held against us, then we need to have that change. And so that is a way that if we take our time and spend it in the word, we can have that be a positive change for us. Tommy was down for the prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Cliff, would you mind to lead us in prayer? And after that, we will have our class.